This is Ken Lubin, the host and founder of the Executive Athletes Podcast, and welcome to this week's episode. I want to thank everyone that's been listening, and thank you for the comments and feedback. They're awesome and an incredible help in this journey to making this podcast better and better each episode. Once again, this is unscripted and unedited, as I believe it is the best way to get to really know the guest. This week's guest is Kristen Ulmer. Kristen's a thought leader, master facilitator, and fear and anxiety expert who radically challenges existing norms around the subject of this deeply misunderstood emotion. Her education on this comes from practical, real-world experience, starting with being a mogul specialist on the U.S. ski team. Kristen then became more notoriously recognized as being the first female big mountain extreme skier in the world, a status she kept for 12 years. I'm super psyched to jump into that. But known for big cliffs and all or you fall, you die descent, she became sponsored by the likes of Red Bull, Ralph Lauren, and Nikon, and was recently inducted into the Hall of Fame in September of 2019. Her mastery of other dangerous sports included paragliding, ice and rock climbing, kiteboarding, adventure mountain biking, and the flying trapeze also gained her the outdoor industry vote as the most extreme, fearless woman athlete in North America, beating all dangerous sports stars, not just skiers. Recently, she wrote one of the best books that I've read addressing fear and anxiety, and the book is The Art of Fear, Why Conquering Fear Doesn't Work and What to Do Instead. So, Kristen, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be here. And you got one word wrong. I was not the first, even though I was the first. I was considered the best woman here in the world for 12 years, which is a really long time to be in a sport like that. And somehow I managed to live and survive in order
That's
to be able
crazy.
To
today. Yeah, no. And nowadays, it's like everyone is such pushing the limits. I think everyone, they're starting to reach terminal velocity at this point too, right? You can only fall so far without physics taking over.
Yeah, it's pretty intense what's happening in the extreme sports world, that's for sure.
So how did you write this book? How did the idea come, sort of the art of fear and conquering fear, but in different ways?
So first of all, I'm not about conquering fear. That language suggests a war, and you do not want to be at war with fear. So I'm actually here to challenge using the word conquering and fear in the same sentence. How I became a fear and anxiety expert is I didn't study about it in a PhD program, learning from professors about this. I'm not just repeating the same information that self-help gurus have passed down for eons. I have actually spent 33 years of real-world practical kind of experience to put the pieces of the puzzle together that I think have been missing for us all about fear, anxiety, other emotions too, emotional issues, on what exactly does work and what actually does not work. I feel like my ski career actually was just an education for me to do what I'm doing now, which is right my real passion. I mean, as passionate as I was about skiing and all those other sports I did, like this, I think, is my reason for being and why I did all that stuff in the first place.
And exactly, when you were skiing, weren't you, sort of the junkie, right? Going after fearful situations. And that's what spurred you on to become, I don't know what to say to become what, but to go after, to embrace and love the fear, I guess, is probably what I meant to say.
Most people that look at extreme athletes make some assumptions that aren't accurate. Maybe they assume that we don't have fear, that we're fearless. I know, like with Alex Hunold, who free soloed El Capitan, there's a big rumor spreading around that, he was tested by scientists and he has some sort of damaged amygdala. He doesn't feel fear like the rest of us. That's absolute, complete nonsense. I've spoke to him for 2 hours about this. Actually, what is happening for people like me, I've talked to a lot of athletes about this too. And I've had a unanimous confirmation that this is what's happening out there, even though it's kind of not known yet. What we're doing out there is we're not fearless. We're not conquering our fear. We're actually tapping into it. and having it help us take us into a flow state, take us into the zone. Like, extreme sports are notorious for taking people into the zone. And the reason why is not despite the fear, but because of the fear. Because we're willing to feel the fear, and then what we have is an intimate relationship with it. And then the fear takes us into heightened states of awareness, presence, helps us bring our A game, helps us react in an intuitive way, immediately without any thought, kind of like animals would when they're in, you know, experiencing fear. That's actually what's happening for us out there. And this is kind of new information.
And talking about fear, putting into flow state, right? I think there's a book I read, The Rise of Superman, right? Is a lot talking a lot about that and flow state. And I don't know if it was about the fear into flow state, but it's being in flow state when you're performing at these maximum conditions, both business-wise. It could be an extreme athlete. It could be a musician who's on stage at the Boston Symphony, any of that. How do you tap into fear to create a flow state?
Ironically, Stephen Kotler, the author of that book, I spent 2 hours on the phone with him yesterday.
Just the two of us.
He's one of my best friends. I'm in his book, Stealing Fire, and I'm going to be in the forthcoming book, The Art of the Impossible.
Yeah, so, Stealing Fire was great too.
Yeah, he's an amazing thought leader and author. You know, before I tell you how to do that, let's back up a little bit.
Perfect.
And let me start by saying what not to do, because the answer of what to do has to be juxtaposed against what not to do first, because what we're all doing is what not to do, right?
That's what most of us do, what not to do.
And like I said, I've interviewed a lot of athletes. There's a movie just made about my life called Voices of Fear, and I interviewed 26 very famous extreme sports athletes. It's why I interviewed Alex. I interviewed Laird Hamilton, Angel Collinson, like you name it, some big time Conrad Anker, like big time athletes that you've heard about, I've interviewed them. And I didn't ask them about, oh, what got you into your sport? No, all we did is talk about fear for 2 hours each time. And I would say that the best of the best of the best, like the best in the world, are having an intimate relationship with fear. The second best on down are having a resistant relationship with fear. So even at the very, very top, like where I don't even see it very often. And usually it's just the number one guy. And then everybody else on down, including like the number two guy that you totally are impressed by, on down to yourself, we all have some form of resistance approach to fear. And mind you, I did this too during my ski career. During my ski career, I did some things right by fear and I did some things wrong by fear, and I've made it my mission to figure all those out. So let's back up and just talk about resistance first. Resistance to fear is what's explicitly taught in our culture. Mommy and daddy teach it, teachers teach it, self-help gurus, psychologists, doctors, you name it. Doctors will help you medicate the fear away. Like, that's the ultimate form of resistance. It's gotten to the point where our cultural norm is to deny fear its rightful place in our lives by conquering it. You know, back to that word,
which right, I don't describe.
Overcoming it, you know, breathing in calm, breathing out fear, meditation apps, you know, where you leave fear behind and you go find, you know, your happy place in a field or a meadow with flowers somewhere. Rationalizing away fear, saying, oh, it's just false evidence appearing real. It's not even real, you know, or trying to talk ourselves out of feeling it through like cognitive behavioral therapy. The list goes on and on and on, even to the point that my cat wants to get on my lap.
Perfect. So it's all right. My dog may come in too, so you never know.
So to the point where, now I've lost my thought, train of thought, but
resistance of fear
What's that?
It was resistance of fear versus relationship with fear.
Yes. So we have gotten to the point where we see fear as a negative thing. We see fear as an enemy, something to be gotten rid of, that is supported by pretty much everyone out there. And so this path that we go on, starting very young, you know, like when you're 5 years old and you say to mom, I feel afraid. Mom says, there's nothing to be afraid of. I call it fear shaming, you know. it sends a message that I shouldn't be feeling this. There's something wrong with me that I feel this. And then as that kid goes throughout his life feeling this normal and natural occurrence called fear, they're headed in the direction of, you know, where we're all headed, which is trying to manage, control, fight, you know, all of that fear. And it sets that kid up to having self-esteem issues. Because if imagine every time you felt fear, which is all the time, you had the thought, oh, there's something wrong with me. Of course, you're going to start feeling bad about yourself. And it sets you up at war with your fear that becomes exhausting over time, to the point where we can even see like 17-year-old gymnasts that are burnt out, you know, because they've been fighting a war with fear in order to perform the way they want to. You know, they're just exhausted. Like 95% of an athlete's resources after a while is just spent blocking out or ignoring or fighting that fear. So it just leads to a whole host of problems, including injury, because you have to, you know, who do you have to become in order to be fearless? I became really rigid and stoic and masculine and arrogant. And, you know, what do we know about like rigid trees in a heavy wind? They break. You know, you have to be able to flow with fear, not become rigid in the face of it. So all these things are happening and supported by coaches, self-help gurus, you name it. And that is where we have to start, because we have to identify what the problem is first before we can actually get to a solution.
So how do you become that solution, right? How do you develop that intimate relationship with fear, when you had mentioned that the number one person has developed that relationship and the number two person has developed the resistance on down? How is that one? How is that number one person developed that relationship?
Now, make no mistake, a lot of these athletes don't know that that's what's going on. Like Alex Honnold had no idea.
Right.
And then we started talking and I'm like, have you looked at it this way? Have you looked at it that way? And he's like, oh. And next thing you know, we're speaking the same language. And I had no idea what my magic was. When I was on the US ski team for moguls, I resisted fear. It was a shit show. I don't even know how I got on that team. I was such a hot mess because of it. I was trying to live under an impossible ideal. I had a fake smile on my face at all times. I was trying to get rid of it. It was, and coaches were supporting. It was awful. When I was a professional big mountain extreme skier, that's when I started to have that intimate relationship with fear. Did I know what was happening back then? I had no clue. Did I actually take steps to manifest that back then? No. It just kind of happened. Can I teach you how to take steps now? Yes, we'll do that. And the steps are, first of all, you have to see where you are. Like if you're in prison, you can't get out of prison until you recognize what kind of prison it is that you're even in. You know, you gotta, if you're in the dark, you know, the lights need to come on and you look around like, oh my gosh, this is what's not working for me. And then the lights may go off again, but each time the lights come on, you know, you see more than what you previously saw. So first and foremost, I say that it's crucial that an athlete or a person, and this is not just for sports, this is also for business. Mm-hmm. Like if you're taking big risks in your business,
right,
you've got to have some sort of awareness about what your relationship is with fear. That's primary. And I mean, 7.5 billion different people, 7.5 billion different unique relationships with fear. Most of them are some form of resistance to it.
No, and that's it, right? It's, we all resist because, like you said, get brought up from an early age. Oh, that's not scary. You shouldn't be fearful. You know that. You know, don't worry about that, right? And it's like, hey, you know, if you recognize it, it actually probably make life a lot easier. And what you're saying right now.
Yes, and everybody, like I said, is so different, but some of the most popular ways that I see, like I used to ignore my fear. Mm. It's very difficult to do. It's like, you know, if you have some screaming child in the room that's getting more and more agitated because you're ignoring it, you know, it takes more and more energy over time. I find that you can ignore fear for about 10 years tops, and all of a sudden you have an anxiety disorder, or you have your first panic attack, or you have some sort of irrational fear. Or it may show up redirected in other ways because you have to feel something. Maybe you don't want to feel fear. You now feel a lot of anger instead. Or it'll hijack your mind and run its agenda in your thoughts. It'll wake you up in the middle of the night and run its agenda in your thoughts then. And, you know, 10 years later, you now have insomnia and you can't get through a night without sleeping pills. You know, this goes, like I said, for business as well. So ignoring fear is one way. A lot of people too, this is fascinating, especially for executives. People have learned how to be in their heads all the time so as not to feel the feeling of fear in their bodies. So if you're in your head all the time, that's another way to resist feeling fear. Fear is an emotion that first shows up in your body. This is proven by science. And it's supposed to flow into, through, and out of your body like water through a hose. If you're in your head and, you know, mind you, trying to figure it out, talking to a therapist about it, that kind of thing, like talking to a therapist about anxiety, which is, by the way, fear. You know, we don't want to call it fear anymore, so now we call it anxiety. These are ways to continue to not have to deal with it emotionally. You know, dealing with it intellectually is the biggest form of resistance I actually see with high achievers. Avoiding fear is another interesting one. Like the person that doesn't take any risks or stays very small is a way to avoid having to feel fear, which comes if you step too far out of your comfort zone. So getting to know your unique relationship with fear is absolutely step one. Any questions about that?
No, I'd just keep going. It's fascinating.
Okay, because that's huge.
Yeah, that's huge, right? Is understanding that. And how do you create that intimate relationship with it, right? I think a lot of people, they have no idea where to start. You're saying that's step one, but I think that they need to have the prologue, right? To start and then start with step one. How do you even create that? How do you even understand that? I know lots of listeners ask me about that.
I do understand that's the third time you've asked me
right.
that same question. So we're getting there.
Okay, perfect.
Now imagine if you are in a relationship with a woman, mm-hmm. or if you're a woman, a man, you know, or just somebody.
Right.
You know, the question could be, because I love to personify fear, how do you get into an intimate relationship with your partner, let's say? Well, it's a process. And let's say you're fighting with your partner. It's not going well. You have anxiety problems. You can't sleep at night. You know, you're in your head all the time. Like, okay, then you could say, well, how do I get to having an intimate relationship with my partner? Well, you have to first see what the problem is, right. You know, that's preventing you from having that intimacy. And the steps are actually, there are four different levels and ways to deal with fear. And when I work with clients, I usually have them kind of take it one step at a time. At first, you have to see where you are, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of prison you're in. And then the next step, so the resistance, see what kind of resistance is your pattern. Do you drink a lot of alcohol to not deal with it? Do you smoke a lot of pot, you know, eat a lot of food? The list goes on and on. Only once you see it can you stop it. Like, oh, I'm drinking all this alcohol because I don't want to deal with my fear, right? Like, that's huge. Then the next step would be resistance leading to acceptance of fear. It's normal and natural to feel it. It's not a sign of personal weakness, not a character flaw. I am supposed to be feeling this. And this can be a huge realization for people because then they don't feel like there's something wrong with them whenever they feel it. Third step, and these are levels, resistance, you know, acceptance, which we're starting to see more, taught more, by other, you know, gurus. I don't consider myself a guru, but right. self-help gurus and psychologists, right? Well, you have to accept this. Third level is embrace the fear. Now, embrace, back into the relationship, you know, can you embrace your partner? Can you give them a hug? What does that look like? If you're in resistance to your partner, notice what that looks like. Mm. If you're accepting, you know, of yourself in the partnership, accepting of the nature of your partner, accepting of the nature of yourself, like that's a step in the right direction. If you start to embrace your partner, can you see that that actually organically leads to intimacy? So what that looks like in sports is, let's say I'm out in the mountains and I'm on a 55 degree slope. There's avalanche danger. I'm going to jump off a 50-foot cliff halfway down. They're filming from the helicopter. It's $50. Like, it's a lot of fear,
right.
A lot of pressure, right? So what does that look like? Okay, it's obviously very scary. I can't even tell you what it's like to stand at the top of a 55-degree, 3,000 vertical foot slope. It is wild. You can only see the first two turns in front of you and then nothing for 3,000 feet but the valley below.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of fear. Fear of failure, all of that. So what that looks like is I feel fear. If there's somebody there, I may look at my partner and say, oh my gosh, I'm totally terrified right now. And in the extreme sports world, you know, nobody, at least I hope not, if they need to give me a call, would say, oh, don't feel fear. There's nothing to be afraid, because that's ridiculous, right? Of course you're supposed to be afraid. And usually what we would say to each other is good. Good, right? Because that means that I'm going to have a healthy respect for the mountain I'm about to ski. It's not about conquering the mountain. It's about kind of merging with the mountain and merging with my emotional experience. And emotions are energy in motion, you know. Then I'll embrace it. And what that looks like is I'll feel it. I'm willing to feel it. You know, when you embrace, you know, like I'm embracing my cat right now.
Right.
I'm feeling my cat. I'm not thinking about my cat.
I love that, the embracing it. Right. Right. That's a totally different feeling than conquering it. Right.
Right. Yeah. So I'm embracing. So what happens is when you are willing to feel and embrace, it's not you're not in your head anymore. You're now in your body. And what's a better place to perform, your head or your body? Definitely your body. So for the extreme athletes, by being willing to feel fear and embrace it, that organically takes us into our body, where next thing you know, kind of like animals who are having a fear response, we're super reactive. Like we can be super ninja out there, like really amazing, like Bambi, you know, who's in a fear state running from a tiger. Like she's, her hearing's better, her eyesight's better, she's runs faster than she ever has, she's, you know, she's fully in her body, there's no thought involved. And then the intimacy is where it gets really interesting, because whenever you have intimacy with anything, you're you're going into a transcendent state. So the fear, you know, you embrace it, you go into your body, like that's the bridge that you cross to get to actually a flow state, the zone, which is basically a spiritual place, you know. And I would actually say that as much as I love the skiing, having that intimate experience with fear and the place that it took me was actually what I was addicted to, and not necessarily the skiing itself. The skiing was just the catalyst, the medium that took me there, when little else does.
Interesting stuff. No, it's sort of the journey that gets you to that state, right, that you're looking for. And I love what you're saying about the embracing it, and it's a totally different take on it versus beating it down and trying to kick it out the door. What is it? I think in your book, you mentioned that fear lives in the basement, right? And you lock it down in the basement and it's down there getting all fired up. And when you open it, it's going to come out, you know, ripping even more. So I love that concept. Talk to us about that concept of really understanding that and letting fear come up the stairs into your house.
Well, let's look at what the basement is. The basement is your body, because emotions are energy in motion that are supposed to flow into, through, and out of your body like water through a hose. And when you try to get rid of one of these emotions, you know, you kink the hose. Fear being the one that we're talking about right now, you kink the hose, and then that fear just gets stuck in your body and just starts recirculating round and round and kind of flooding into every available part of your body, your lower back, your thoughts, you know, your up shoulders. Like, oh my gosh, like you do not want to stop the flow of fear. And so ultimately the practice is about, like going back to what I started with, seeing that you've kinked the flow of fear, and thus you're not in flow with your life, or the nature of life itself, because the nature of life itself is very scary. You don't even need to ski a 55-degree slope for this to be a scary experience. You don't even need to give a speech or launch a new business or any of that. You know, it's just here all the time. It's part of what it means to be a human being. So you don't want to kink the flow of nature itself. Any steps that you can take to unkink that hose will involve you not talking and thinking about it or trying to figure it. Like, it's just a matter of being in your body and closing your eyes and finding that fear that maybe is stuck in your body, that discomfort that may or may not show up as fear. It may show up as anxiety or worry or anger or what have you, and learn how to, and thoughts, and just learn how to open the gate and allow it to flow again. And usually what that takes is some sort of targeted, specific practice where you do this body scan. And, you know, let me give you an example. Right when my book came out, I'm a facilitator. I don't usually give speeches. I now give a lot of speeches, but back then I hadn't. I don't talk about this stuff. I help people access their own unique relationship with fear through voice dialogue and a facilitated process. You know, I actually don't give advice. I just help people access their own advice. Next thing you know, I'm giving this huge speech, 75 minutes in front of a mega audience of famous people. It was kind of a big deal, way out of my comfort zone. So 10 minutes before I'm going to go on, I'm like having a panic attack.
Right? I think everyone would.
Right?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? That's a natural thing, right?
But I got this because I'm a fear expert.
Exactly.
So what I did is, most people, what would they do? They'd rationalize it away. Like, oh, I've got this. I've been practicing. I have this cold. I'm going to do great. Like, you know, people like me, they want me to, like, I would try to, like, most people would try to rationalize it away. I do not recommend that, because that's a form of resistance to feeling it. Instead, what I did is I went behind the building and I first acknowledged it's normal and natural to feel fear. Of course, I should be feeling this. This is very scary. Then I closed my eyes and I scanned my body. What did I feel? I felt nervous. And it was in my throat and in my chest. Third step was, I then recognized, am I in resistance to it? I'm like, damn it. You know, I wrote a book about this, right? But of course, I was raised in the same culture that we're all raised in, right? And I've also been pre-programmed to resist it. And sure enough, I was resisting it. In particular, it was showing up as, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. I'd rather just be at home, you know, with my cat, watching a movie with my husband, right? Like, I just don't want to be here, right? So first I spent some quality time just feeling my resistance. And I want to introduce an equation. Suffering equals discomfort times resistance. So my discomfort was a level 10 out of 10. My resistance was also a level 10 out of 10. 10 times 10, it's a lot of suffering.
Lots of suffering. Right?
So first I gave myself permission to just resist it. And I just said over and over again, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I just wish I were home. I don't want to do this. Right? I did that for 1 minute until it ran its course, ran out of things to say. And then I turned my attention to the nervousness and I just felt it. And here's the key. This is not about turning up the dial on it. This is not about trying to get rid of it. This is just about spending some quality time with it. Like, it's an upset child that needs your attention. And I just felt it, loved it, gave it a hug, gave it some energy, like breathed in the fear, breathed out the hope of getting rid of it. Like, just gave it some love through my breathing too. Not trying to let go of the fear, but actually breathe into the fear. And then what happens, this is really, really sexy. The fear, after a minute of that, runs out of things to say, and it lets go of me. So this whole process took me 2 minutes. And I lowered my resistance to a level one. I lowered my nervousness to a level one. What's one times one? Not much suffering. But there's still enough fear to help me bring my A game to the speech I was about to give. And I walked back inside, and I nailed it. And the fear helped me be sharp and focused and on point. And when I fumbled a few words, like, the fear kind of snapped me back into a conscious moment, like, okay, enough of that stumbling on words. And so all of that was done without having to repress or get rid of or resist fear in any way. And this is the future for us all, because it has to be, because what we've been doing hasn't been working, causing like unprecedented statistics of anxiety disorders, irrational fear, panic attacks, drug use, prescription and recreational, and sleep aids, this is where we're headed. And we're just kind of, there's just a few of us that have cracked this code. But I predict in 50 years, this is what we're all going to be doing, because what we're currently doing hasn't been working.
Well, and right now too, and when this is being recorded, and it's during the height of the pandemic, right? So I'm sure there's crazy fear out there, from money to the fact that people are fearful because they're at home with their spouses, either good or bad, right? Because they're never home for 8 hours a day with their spouses and their kids and everything else like that. There's fear of, is my job still going to be there when we come back? There's fear everywhere. What would you give the listeners and how to handle through this pandemic? If you could give one or two things, obviously you went in depth with some great stuff, but in sort of talking people down real quick in today's uncertainty,
because fear is so elevated right now, your relationship with fear will never be more obvious. If you typically ignore fear, you ignore the coronavirus. If you try to control fear, you're going to feel really out of control. And this could lead to OCD or trying to control other people. Like, there's a woman in town here who is just like on the internet, like every day, just berating anyone that's not adhering to her standards. If you're in your head about fear, you're going to really be monkey minded out right now, and have a hard time sleeping probably. So I would actually go so far as to say, maybe now this is the moment, you know, the greatest opportunity we have to learn how to have a healthy relationship with fear, because it's like we've all been banished to our rooms, you know,
right,
to go and sit with our fear. Let's call it a roommate, because I love to personify fear, like this roommate, and spend 24 hours a day with this roommate. And it's like, if you don't figure out how to get along with this guy now, you know, you don't have a chance in hell of it ever, because you're going to be able to get away, you know. One of the other, by the way, ways in which I see people dealing with fear or not dealing with it is they make themselves so busy as to run away from fear and not have to deal with it. Well, now we can't run away from it. We have to sit and have that conversation and try to forge a more honest, healthy relationship, flowing relationship with fear. This is the opportunity that's presenting itself right now. And, you know, that I'm sure there's a lot of people that are just drinking more alcohol or eating junk food, you know, to not deal with it. But if you are a maverick, if you really, really want to learn how to have a healthier relationship with fear, now is your opportunity. Figure it out.
It's the perfect reset time, right? For a lot of that stuff, to be like, hey, let's face it, let's bring it on, and let's really embrace it. And I think a lot of people, like you said, if you can develop that relationship during these uncertain times, and like, I love what you said, having a roommate, you're stuck in a room, right? You're stuck in your own cell, and you got to become friends with it, because other than that, it's going to be miserable. And most people, they'll fight and fight and fight until they can't fight anymore. And then all, next thing you know, they're embracing it. And I think I love what you're saying, embrace it earlier on instead of fighting the battle for the last 10 years, when people really start to realize, oh my God, I can't do this anymore.
And here's two quick exercises that you can do right now, or even after COVID is over. If you're not getting along with the person, your partner, the person that you're there with, usually that has to do with the fact that you're not dealing with your fear, and your partner's not dealing with their fear either. And you're like, become like monkeys throwing your shit at each other, you know?
Right.
So sit down, and this will resolve the argument and possibly get to the core of whatever argument was possibly there in your relationship long before COVID. And just speak back and forth all the things that you're afraid of. You know, I'm afraid you don't like me, you know, and then their partner says, well, I'm afraid that of who I've, what I've lost in order to be in this relationship. Like, you just go back and forth all that you're afraid of and have an honest conversation about, instead of rushing to love. Like, everybody's like, oh, choose love over fear. Like, come on, you know?
Right.
Like, We make fun of this on sitcoms, for crying out loud. Why is this still being taught? We're not all about love. We're sometimes about love, but we're also all about fear. Like, can we learn how to deal with this part of life and not throw it at each other, or make other people deal with it? So back and forth, what are you afraid of? Like, that is going to be a way more interesting conversation than just talking about how much you love each other or trying to rush to love. So that's the first one. The second one is, saying all the things that you're, or even writing down all the things that you're afraid of for you personally. Like, I'm afraid that my business of 20 years is not going to recover. I'm afraid of running out of money and not having enough to eat. I'm afraid of, you know, my grown children now having to move back in with me, like that kind of stuff. And just sitting with those fears and juicing them like oranges. Like, why are they here? What kind of lesson and message that if I were to listen and heed, you know, could I not only feel better and because I'm now having a healthy flowing relationship with fear, but actually fear is a great advisor. Like, there's fear if you do something and there's fear if you don't do something. You know, there's fear if you leave your wife, there's fear if you don't leave your wife. Like, pay attention to your fears, which is the greater fear. You know, also ask yourself, am I in the mood for fear right now, or am I not in the mood for fear? Like, all these questions you can ask yourself during this time or any time. Your fear is actually one of the most wise, intuitive parts of, you know, like the tools in your tool bucket, right? And we need to invite fear into the decision-making process, or else we're blind in one eye and we lose all depth perception if we're just in our heads trying to figure things out. So tap into the wisdom of your emotions. Great time to do that now as well.
Perfect. Well, Kristen, we're here over a half an hour and this was unbelievable how quick it went. Where can people find you? Where can they find more about some of the stuff that you're doing? I'll post everything as well, but I'm sure listeners would love to hear more about how they can find your book, your information, everything.
My website, kristenulmer.com, that's with an E-N, has a free fear and anxiety assessment that will help you see very clearly what your unique relationship is with fear. I strongly encourage you go. It's free. You know, take this free assessment and just kind of open up the possibilities of you having a bigger conversation about fear. My book is a great resource, The Art of Fear, and that's it.
Awesome. No, and Kristen, this was amazing. And thank you very much for taking time out of your crazy busy schedule. And like you said, you're interviewing everyone and everything. So it was an honor to have you on.
Let me finish by saying your relationship with fear is the most important relationship of your life, because it's the relationship you have with yourself at your core. And it determines so much. It determines what kind of risk you're willing to take. It determines how you feel while taking those risks, and on and on. So make it the best relationship possible.
And everyone listening, make sure you embrace the fear instead of fighting or conquering the fear. So that's what I'm going to use for changing the words in my head and as well. So again, Kristen, this was awesome. If anyone has any questions, comments, feedback, you can email me at kennethexecutiveathletes.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and keep on listening and keep on crushing it and love your fears. Thanks for listening.